Rosh Chodesh Menachem Av, Friday the 13th of July, Rabbi Yechiel Levenberg, V'yisem Nekiyim Mehashem Umi Yisrael, Chapter Lamed Beis, Posuk Chof Beis.
A good Chodesh. We find that the Bnei God of Bnei Ruvain wanted to stay in Eva Yardim. Moshe Rabbeinu made a deal with them. You can stay and get your portion of Eretz Yisrael on Eva Yardim, but if you stay and don't go across, it'll look as if you're cowards. You'd look that you are therefore scared to go across and wage battle with the indigenous population on the other side of the Yarden, and therefore you'll dishearten everyone else, Moshe Rabbeinu said. So I can't allow you to just stay here and not go. So he said, if you go across and you will fight and we will succeed, then when after we succeed and we conquer the rest of Eretz Yisrael, and you will not only go, you will lead them in battle, then we could easily accommodate you that you will get this portion because you have the tzoyin, you want the Eretz Mikna, you want to have this pasture, fine, so you can have that. Now, when Moshe Rabbeinu says this, he uses an expression. And he says, V'nich b'sha, this is chapter Lamed Beis, Posuk Chof Beis. V'nich b'sha ha'oretz lefnei Hashem, v'acha tashuvu. The land will become conquered. And you'll then go back to the Eva Yarden. Then v'yisem nekiyim Hashem Yisrael. Then you'll be free. You'll be all right with God because you kept your side of the deal, and from Klal Yisrael because it's all fair. And then, so you will get this land that you asked for. This is the way the Pasuk says it. Chazal, when they look at this Pasuk, see in it a general ruling. And the ruling is brought in the Mishnah in Shkolim. And let me read you the Mishnah. The Mishnah is in Perek Gimel, Mishnah Beis. And we all know that we gave Machzis HaShekel, and that was used for the supplies of the Beis HaMikdash during the year. They had to buy carbonis, they had to buy oil, they had to buy different things, wood, Menochas. So the money went into the Lishka, to this office where they kept the money, and then they had to empty this office and bring the money out of the office. So the Mishnah says, "B'sholosh kupas shel sholosh zoin terminus halishka." They got three big buckets. And they filled it up with the money that was gathered in the Lishka. And the Kosov Behem Aleph Beis Gimel. So the Tanakhama says that each one was marked. The first one was marked an Aleph, the second one Beis, the third one a Gimel. And there was a reason for it. The reason being that you used it accordingly. First they used the Aleph, and then the Beis, and then the Gimel. That's the Aleph. Rabbi Shmuel Aimer Yevonis Kosov Behem. Alpha, Beta, Gamma. You didn't have to write it after Aleph Beis. And the Rishonim say, because they lived in the time of the Greeks, it was more common to use the local language. So they wrote it Alpha, Beta, Gamma, like the Greeks wrote, because that was the more common language. There was no reason to have to mark it Aleph Beis Gamma. Then the Mishnah says what we're coming to. Ein atoyrim nichnas loy bepargut chofus, veloy beminol, veloy besandol. The gentleman who emptied the coffers and filled up these buckets, there was a special law. He couldn't wear a paragot coffers. Now, there's a machloikus what that means. The first pshat is the batanura, that if you have a long coat, and the coat's a bit too long for you, so you make a hem on the bottom. So it's folded up. So then there's a place there where you can put things and hide things. You can put things in the lining there. Therefore, he wasn't allowed to have a coat that was folded up from the bottom, that had any hem, because in case people will suspect that he stole some of the coins. So it's halacha that the kohen who was toyrim wasn't allowed to wear a coat with them. The other pshatim, the rishonim, is that you weren't allowed to have a coat that had a lining in altogether. Because between the coat and the lining, you can slip things in. You make a little cut, and you put something in there, and maybe you put some coins in there. So he wasn't allowed to have a line coat, or a coat with a hem. V'loy b'minol, he couldn't wear a shoe, because people slip things into their shoes. V'loy b'sandal, not even a sandal. V'loy b'tfilin, he couldn't wear his tfilin, because maybe he'll put it underneath, Rishonim say. The Leib Kmiya, he couldn't have like a necklace because he was wearing a Kmiya. He couldn't do it because maybe he put something there as well. Shema Ya'oni, because maybe this guy and this gentleman who emptied the coffers will eventually become poor. The Yoimru and the people will say, you know why he lost his money? Me'ova in Halishka Heni, because he pinched money. And we all know that if someone steals, it doesn't last forever. It wasn't money that was designated for him, and therefore that money then disappears. And not only the money that you steal disappears, but it contaminates the other money. And the Rishonim tell us that Chas v'Shalom, a person loses everything. So if a person will ever have lost money, Shema Yani, they'll always say yes, because he was the guy who emptied the coffers. And he must have nicked some money, and that now he's getting his punishment, and therefore he lost all his money. Or, Shema Yashe became wealthy. And then people will say, the Yomer with Truma Salishka Heshir, because he nicked the money. That's how he got some money, some seed money, and he invested it. That's where he made his money from, because he was the guy who was emptying the coffers. So, the gentleman who went to empty the coffers had special laws. What he wore, what he could wear, what he couldn't wear. He had to be above suspicion. So, why does he have to accommodate other people? Why does he have to worry about, if he knows he's honest, and he doesn't do anything, why does he have to worry about what other people might suspect him? So the Mishnah tells us, the fisha adam tzorich lotzeis yidei habriyos kederech shetzorich lotzeis yidei hamokot. The Mishnah tells us, the American expression of what me worry, I do what's right, I don't care what anyone else thinks. That's wrong. We can't live like that. A person must live tzorich lotzeis yidei habriyos kederech shetzorich lotzeis yidei shamayim. I mean, just as much as we have to be careful about what we do, and the Rabbeinu Shalom is watching and knows what we do, and we have to be careful to do only things that are right and correct, we also have to seem to be right, and seem to be correct, and seem to be above suspicion. And we're not allowed to do anything which might cause suspicion. Oh, so therefore, he had to wear special garments, he wasn't allowed to wear his tefillin, he had to take it. Why? Because in case someone will suspect him, in case in the future he makes money, loses money, and people will start interpreting that it came from the Bar Samishka. So the Mishnah says, where do you know this new halacha from? Why do I have to worry about people who might falsely accuse me of stealing when I didn't, and therefore I have to take precautions now that they shouldn't accuse me. They have no right to say these things. So why do I have to worry about them? The answer is, it's a mafurish apostle. Shenema v'yisem nikiyim v'ashem yisro. How centered is it? A person has to be clean, not just from Hashem, Umi Yisrael, from Klal Yisrael as well. You have to do things and be above suspicion. Even if it causes that he'd have to take off his tefillin, he couldn't wear his normal clothes. Why? You mustn't do things where other people suspect you. That's the Mishnah. And then the Mishnah brings the second pasuk. Va'oima umotza chayim v'seichel toiv, ve'enei elekim v'odom. Pasuk and Mishnah. A person must be above suspicion that not only respected by HaKadosh Baruch Hu because he does what's right, but he's respected by people because they know he's right. So if a person does something which even though he is right and he's innocent, but doesn't look right, doesn't appear to be right, or might be cause for slander, even if it's not true, the slander, then you mustn't do it. And therefore the Mishnah advises him what to do, that he should be above suspicion. This is a Mishnah. Learning this Mishnah, we often wonder, is it a Daraisa, is it Rabbonon? Is the Mishnah just giving us advice? Let's think a second. The Gemara says in Yuma, Daf Lamed Ches, Amud Aleph, Tanu Rabbonon, Beis Garmu Hoyu Bekiyim B'Masa Lechem Aponim. In the Beis Hamikdash, they had to make Lechem Aponim. Friday, they baked challah, Lechem Aponim. And there was a family called Garmu. The house of Garmu, they were expert bread makers. They were bakers, professional bakers, master bakers. And they used to make the Lechem Aponim. Says the Gemara, Ma'olim lo nimtzes pas nikia biyad b'nehem. Never did you find any of the children from the whole household of Beis Garmu ever eating bread that wasn't a whole meal. Pure bread, pure white bread. Never. Shalayim rumi maisei lechem aponim nizaynim. People will say, maybe he pinched a bit, you know, he took a bit of flour, they baked the lechem aponim, there's a bit left over. So he took it home and he gave it, that's what he's feeding his kids with. So therefore, they never used, never used, and you never can find in the hands of their children pure white bread. They only had wholemeal, which in the time of the Gemara was always considered inferior. Why? Lekayim mashenem avayisim nekiyim mashem Yisrael. Person has to be innocent, and not only innocent, appear innocent, and people shouldn't have any above suspicion. So therefore, they never used it even at home. The Torah Tmima asks, Beis Garmu, they never found in the hands of the children this bread. Why does it mention the children? What about them? What about the people themselves? So he says, well, I'll tell you, he says, because normal people eat at home. You don't see what they eat. They don't eat al fresco outside. So if so, but the derech of Ketanim, he says, is they get a kafasuch b'rachala, they run out to the playground, they run out to the front yard, backyard, the street. So the kids, you can see what they eat. And therefore it says Ketanim. Then he asks a question, and he says, Afal gav the kaim alon, kol mokum sha'osu chachomim mipnei ma'azayim, afilu b'chadrei chadorim os. So he says like this. The elders, the parents, they were at home. They ate inside. They ate inside. They can eat whatever they want. White bread, the whole meal, whatever they want. But the children, you can't always control them. So they might take a bit and they eat and they'll run out in the street and people will see what they're holding and eating. Now, the rule is normally, he says, that whenever the Chachamim asks something, it's also after the Bechadrei Chador. If Chacham say you mustn't eat something, and therefore you can't say, well, no one is watching, no one sees it, I can do what I want. That's not allowed. If they prohibit it, it's prohibited no matter where you do it, even if no one can see you. So if that's the case, why are the elders allowed to eat it? And it's because it says they're only the children. So he answers the question. He says, no, this business that if something is prohibited, it's only prohibited if, and even the chadrei chadorim, even if no one can see him, it's all hidden. That's only also if it's an issa d'oraisa, he says. Or even if it's an issa d'rabbanan, and the rabbanan say, don't do it. He says, but here, eino ela rak mida v'mineg yofe v'loy medina. This is what the says, v'yisem nekim Hashem Yisrael. It's not a d'oraisa, it's not even a d'rabbanan. It's just a minig and a nice thing. It's way, it better be above suspicion. Why do you need people looking down at you? And he says that a lot of normal people eat pasnikia, they like white bread better, so maybe that's why they're eating white bread. So really, there isn't any real room for suspicion to say, Dafka took it and left him up on him. No. That's what he answers. Then he says, V'raya shein zadin v'chayva, sherei omru b'gemora. The Gemara says that face this family who didn't eat and didn't allow the children to eat the bread from white bread, based garmo. So the Gemara says that they were praised by the Chachamim. Says there is Mima, why were they praised? Must be that it wasn't necessary. Must be it's not a din. And therefore they kept it. And because they kept and they went over and above the letter of the law, therefore they were chachomim and shabeach them, they were praised. But he said, if it would be actually a din or a chiyuv, then they wouldn't say that the chachomim praised them. They did what they had to be done. If that's the case, he says, must be that it's only a minik toiv and this. That's not really a real deraisa. It's not even a drabonon. Therefore, bechadre chadorim is muta. And therefore the elders ate it, but the children who actually ran outside, they were careful to make sure that people don't say it. They didn't want people to talk about it. And that was over and above the law, and therefore the Chachamim were shabeh. This is the way the Torah Tmima learns this Gemara in Yuma Daf Lamed Ches. I must tell you, his original question of Kol Mokem She'osru Chachamim Mepnei Maris Ayin, that it's also is a very strange, because it doesn't really apply here. Whether Chachamim asked something, whether prohibited something, don't eat this, don't do X. So if you do it, you mustn't do it hidden, you mustn't do it openly, you can't do it. They were prohibited this activity of doing it. Here, they said, don't raise suspicions. Don't do things that people will say that he's dishonest, that he's taking from Hektish. So they didn't say this is a prohibited act. They didn't answer anything. So the rule of Chadrei Chadorim doesn't apply. The rule of Chadrei Chadorim only applies if they prohibited either the object or the act. So don't do it, no matter if someone's watching or not watching. Here, they just said, stay above suspicion. So anything you do that's above suspicion is fine. So if you eat your house and no one is watching, you have no problem. His original question doesn't start. His second thing that he says, that it's not even a drabbanan, if you open up the Igros Moshe, the Rechaim Chelek Dalet, and Simon Pei Beis, Rav Moshe says it's a issa d'oraisa. The fact if a person does something which raises suspicion by other people, issa d'oraisa, ve'yisem nekiyim Hashem Yisrael. Rav Moshe has no doubt about it. He doesn't even say it's a kiddush. He says clearly it's an issa d'oraisa. And if you follow the Mishnas and the Gemaras, we'll mention a few today, and we'll see. Rav Moshe seems to be right. Motna chiddush the Torah Tmima to make an assumption that this what the Mishnah says that Yehovah Yisna Kimish Yisrael is only a minik toy. Doesn't that sound right? But what about his proof? He says, why was it Meshabeach, the Chachamim Meshabeach them? If it's necessary, if it's a proper halacha, so why would the Chachamim praise him? The answer is very simple. The Pasuk says, be above suspicion. Now, you've got to draw a line somewhere. What is a cause for suspicion, and what's already too far-fetched? You don't have to be paranoid about it. So therefore, let's look, think here a second. You have a child from the family of Beis Gad. He wants to eat the breakfast, and I've got a white roll. So I give him the roll. Now, he might run outside, might not, he might eat it in the house like a normal child. No, some children run out. Maybe he'll be one of the children run out. And if he'll run out to the street, they'll know that he's from Garmu. They will therefore say, oh, Garmu, yeah, they're the bakers from the Beis HaMikdash. Must be they're nicking some flour from the Beis HaMikdash, and that's what they bake at home, and that's what the kid's eating. Very far-fetched. To actually suspect them because the kid is eating a white roll, that he probably stole the flour from the Beis HaMikdash. Very far-fetched. So therefore, the deraisa of the Yisrael Nikim Hashem Yisrael, that they raise suspicion. I wouldn't say they raise suspicion by giving the kid a white roll. All right, there are a certain percentage of people who are not done people of Kafskos. And not only that, they look to Chepa and look to say that this and that and the other. Who said, where you draw the line and say that that's prohibited? So the common felt it wasn't really prohibited. But they were extra cautious. They were careful about the Yisrael Nikim Hashem. They did it even in a far-off case. Therefore, the Chachamim M'Mashabayachim. It's better to be more careful than less. But it's Chas V'Shalom not a proof that it's not a deraisa. And therefore, Rav Moshe Paskins, it's definitely a Nisa deraisa. If people do things which other people suspect, even though they have no right to suspect them, but still, if I cause the suspicion, I'm over the Issa of a Yisum Nikim. We must be clean. Mahashem, I must do what's right. Umi Yisrael, it must appear right that people should not suspect me I'm not doing something wrong. Let's continue. The Gemara then goes on, and it says, there was another family called Beis Avtanis, and they were Bekiyim B'maisa Ktoiris. They were the experts of doing the Ktoiris. They made the incense. They knew how to mix the different things. Uma'oilam layotza kala mevusemes mibateyam. The daughter got married. She never wore perfume. Because people will say, yes, he does the incense in the Beis HaMikdash. He nicks a bit here and a bit there. He makes a little homemade perfume from it as well. So they never let the kala wear any perfume. But what happens if one of the sons of Beis Avtanis married a woman from elsewhere? So, was she allowed to wear perfume? So it says, no. They wrote the Tnoim, they made conditions of marriage, and they put in a new condition. She will not be allowed to wear perfume. Because we want to stay above suspicion. And therefore, even if someone married into that family, she had to undertake that she would never wear perfume, and that was the condition of the marriage. Shows how, and again it says the Chachamim Mishabeach them, again it's far-fetched to say, they married a girl, because they married a girl from California, and she came, but yes, he must have gave her a present from perfume, and he took it from the Beis HaMikdash, and this, and that, and the other, it's so far-fetched. But they were still careful, and made sure that things were right. Let me give you a third example. And this is a Gemara in Psochim, Daf Yud Gemal. And it says like this, Gabet Stoka, She'ein Lahem Aniyah. We all know, anyone who ever dealt with charity, who made a collection, or a guy in the shul who empties the pushka, there's lots of small coins. And the Gemara says, the small coins were made out of copper in the time of the Gemara, and copper, it gets damaged. And therefore, what they used to do, is they used to change this copper coins into silver, and they would put away the silver. The silver lasts longer, and copper gets erodes. What?
Oxidized.
That's the right word. Correct. Now, so therefore, the Gabbat Stocker needs to change all the small coins for silver. So the rule is, he's allowed to change it. But he's not allowed to change it for his own dimrim. They used to have silver dimrim. So he's allowed to change, but he wasn't allowed to be the recipient of it. Why? We'll soon see. Also, a gabbai tamchui. Now tamchui wasn't just a charity where they gave out money, they actually gave out food. And therefore, so they had food left over. They weren't enough food. They prepared a big breakfast for all the aniyim to have what to eat, and then there's extra food left over. So the Gemara says, moichim lacherim ve'moichim la'atzma. They can sell the remainder of the food, because they can't let it go to waste, but they're not allowed to be the purchaser. So the Gemara says, the reason why the gabbai can't change it himself, or to purchase the tamchi himself, is because people will say he took a good rate of exchange. Yes, he took all the small coins, he put in silver. He didn't do it exactly right. He took the food for himself, he gave himself a bit of a bargain, and he bought it for less than the actual value. Mishum shenema v'yisem nekiyem mashem Yisrael. We have to be honest, straightforward, and visibly so, above suspicion. So therefore, the rule is, he can sell it, but to someone else. He can change the coins, but he's not allowed to be the money changer. And let me tell you, Allah in Choshen Mishpat, and with this we'll have to finish, from Yit Hashem, maybe in another shiur we'll continue the subject. But let me tell you, Allah, in Simin Yon Dalet and Choshen Mishpat. Again, this comes into play. Now the rule is, I don't know how many of you have been to the Beis Din, or a Beis Din, and the Dayanim paskin. And the rule is, the Beis Din just gives a ruling. They don't need to start explaining how they got to the ruling, why they paskin that way. They just say what the halacha is. So, but in Shulchan Aruch it says, if they're asked, if they're queried, there's a query as to why they paskin, the Ramah says, you can say, Bamedantuni. On what basis did you issue this psak? So whenever you get a psak from the Beis Din, you have a right to query it. On what basis? Often the psak will be a psak din menumak, what they call, with reasons. So you have the reasons in front of you. If it's an abridged edition of the psak, just the actual ruling, without the reasons, if you have doubts, you're allowed to ask. But the Shulchan Aruch says one case where you don't have to ask the reasons, and the Dayan has to explain himself. He says, if the Dayan senses that he's under suspicion, people are saying he is leaning towards one of the parties. People are saying he's unfair. People are saying he's prejudiced here. Then the halacha is, in the proceedings of the Beis Din, he must clarify as to why he's leaning towards one of the parties. He might be because one of the parties he can tell is lying, or halachically he doesn't stand right with the things he claims. Then he has to explain himself then and there before he's even asked, because he has to explain, because he has to be above suspicion. Here we too see the same rule. The Dayan has got to make the impression that he's not prejudiced, he's not leaning towards one side, he's totally level playing field, everyone is getting a fair judgment, and therefore, if he sees that there's any sense or there might be suspicion, then he has to explain himself before he issues even the ruling. Here we see examples of the Yisim Nekiyim Hashem Yisroel. A person has to live his life and be above suspicion. Thank you.